This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I present to you the most relieved man in America, Todd Hummel. Every time the show starts and I begin speaking, he's relieved.
You did get me with your five-second pause.
I did that deliberately. Just to see how you do. Just to see how you do. All right. How's everything with you today?
Well, not too bad, not too bad.
It's good weekend?
Yeah. Got a little sweaty on Friday night. Did the District 4 football all-star game, and it was a steamy one.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great game either.
Oh, really?
Now the team up north had a little more talent. The kid from Loyal Sock, Jalen Andrews, had three touchdown catches and 160 yards in the first half.
You know what? I think in time, this is not what people want to hear, especially traditionalists. But I think you have to be realistic about how things are going. In time, these all-star games are going to go away. Go ahead. Sorry, Tom.
I was going to say, I don't think the small ones like ours are, just because they're going to smaller level schools. But, man, the Big 33 has a lot of problems getting players sometimes.
Yeah, Well, because what happens is that with players now graduating early from high school and going into college right away, starting in January at a university, that was just the beginning of players transitioning away from the high school side of it in games like that. They're not going to play in the Big 33 game. You look at, like, Tysier Denmark was the MVP of the Big 33 this year. I believe he couldn't, for example, let's take the Maryland side of it. McDonough, P.J. Mustafa, Curtis Jacobs, Devon Ellis, Denai Dennis Sutton, they're all McDonough guys. And McDonough doesn't allow you to enter. Like, you can't leave early. You can't leave early. But at the same time, those guys didn't play in the, you know, like Denai Dennis Sutton, he didn't play in the Big 33 game. The first chance he had to get into Penn State, he started in May. People want to get their clock going. Now, you're right. Maybe the people look forward. I mean, the All-Star games were great. They were fun. I know at one point there was the Big 33 here in District 6. They had an All-Star game every year. I did it on radio a few times. And under the new system, that's going away. I can't see. Now, maybe you're right. I can see your point about the small ones, the smaller, you know, area, but overall, no. I just don't see. As we move forward, the survival, I can't be honest with you, I think the Big 33 is in, you know, big trouble.
Well, I mean, now they're playing three games a week, a weekend down there. They're playing the overall Big 33 game, and then they're doing the game that used to be in Altoona that they play East versus West, and now they've split that into big school and small school now. So they're playing three All-Star games now when they play the Big 33 game that weekend.
Yeah, that All-Star game, that East-West, they asked Jack and I to broadcast that once. And this is where I you just don't know with compliance. Not the compliance is the issue, what the rules are. So they asked Jack and I if we would do the All-Star game in Altoona, East-West game. Okay. They said, well, we'll consider it. I said, but we need to check some stuff out. So I called Penn State. And this is when John Bove was in charge of compliance. I said, John, I said, are we allowed to do this game? Now, my assumption was, okay, so I made an assumption, was that we would be allowed to do it because all these players that were in the East-West game had graduated, right?
Yeah.
We were told we couldn't do it because we couldn't talk about players competitively in a game until they got on campus. Okay.
So does that, I'm not sure I realize this. So that means you couldn't like do state high games.
Oh no, I couldn't do the state. That's why when we do recruiting, do you notice how general I talk about in recruiting where I'll lead, you know, Ryan Snyder or whomever it may be. I'll lead them in, but I do it in general terms. When I talk to our high school announcers on Thursday, I do it in general terms. They can be as specific as they want, right? But I still fall into the category of an NCAA violation. That's why when I do that part of it, I'm very general because I'm allowed to be general. You notice I never mention specific players. Have you ever noticed that?
I did notice that.
Yeah, because there's a reason for it. I fall into that gray area. Okay. So that's why Jack and I weren't allowed to do it. Like, okay. But then, years ago, Mifflinburg High School asked me to be the guest speaker at their high school banquet. Now, what is my assumption about the answer I would get on that?
No.
That's right. My assumption was no. I went to compliance. They told me I could as long as I didn't get up there and sell Penn State. Like, okay. So I got two answers that were the direct opposite of the answer I thought I was going to get. I thought Jack and I were going to be, oh, yeah, sure, do the game. They're already graduated. Don't worry about it. No, you can't talk to the banquet. Nope. I was allowed to talk to the banquet, couldn't do the game. Okay.
Kind of sums up NCAA compliance rules, doesn't
right.
it?
Right. You know, well, but I had to make sure. You know, I mean, I had to make sure. I couldn't just like, hey, yeah, we'll do it. You find out later. Like, oh, jeez. Yeah, kind of fouled that one up. It's like, okay. That's why you have to go and ask, because I have no idea sometimes.
You know, it's funny. I've never heard of anybody making that mistake, though, either.
What? What do you mean?
Like an announcer doing that. You know, that'd probably be like a self-reported violation. You know, your play-by-play guy accidentally does the All-Star game without asking. You'd think somebody would have made that mistake by now, and I don't ever remember hearing that.
There's probably because nobody reported it.
Well, that's true. That's true, too.
But I wanted to make sure. Yeah. You know, that's why I checked. You know? But, you know, they do say ignorance is bliss. I didn't know that. Okay. Don't worry about it.
In other places than the NCAA, it's usually easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Exactly. But...
I hope my daughter's not listening.
But in this case, I asked. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's, like I said, it's you get interesting answers. You don't get the answers you expect sometimes. I'll never forget the number of times I heard Joe Paterno say, they need to start from the rule book all over again. Page one, rule one. He always said they should start over again in the rule book. He was right. I mean, there's so many rules. Now, with everything happening with money and payouts and NIL and things like that and transfer portal, I don't know what the rules are anymore. I'm trying to keep track of it.
Speaking of times to probably redo the whole rule book, they should probably just burn the one they have now and start over.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, but they're not going to. All right. The Stanley Cup Final, Game 7 tonight. It's amazing when you look back just a week ago. And the Celtics were playing the Mavericks, and the Mavericks blew out the Celtics in Game 4 with a chance for the Celtics to win it. Went back to Boston, and Game 5 was really about as non-competitive a closeout game as you can ask. The Celtics won with complete ease. Okay. Conversely, the Stanley Cup Final, same situation. Game 4, Edmonton's at home, like Dallas was at home, and they blew out Florida 8-1. Except when they went back to Sunset, the Oilers won again. So let's get into a couple things with this, because then Game 6, you know, was another big one. Okay. So let's get into this. You watch how Florida has played, whether it was the Bruins, the Rangers, Tampa Bay. In each one of those series and in the first three games of this series, the ability of the opposition to clear the puck, I don't mean the length of the ice, Todd, I mean just to get it out of the zone into the neutral zone, this so you could regroup or maybe start something. Florida denied, denied, denied. They have been as good as any team that I've watched at denying clear outs until they got to Game 4. And when they got to Game 4, they're not getting out. They're blitzing him. It was 8-1. Okay. Well, Game 5, same thing. Suddenly, Edmonton is not only getting the puck out of the zone, Edmonton's getting goals off the rush. Wow. And it's made a big difference. I think the first goal tonight is huge in this game, because the first goal, if it's Florida, it's going to be if it's Edmonton, then Florida's going to be, oh, here we go again, we're fighting uphill. Remember what happened when the Red Sox beat the Yankees in Game 7 in 2004. What did the Red Sox do? First inning, David Ortiz hits a two-run homer. Second inning, Johnny Damon hits a grand slam. It's 6-0 going to the bottom of the second. Derek Jeter admits, going into the game, he says, look, they'd never beaten us in a big game since I was there. They'd never beaten us in a big game. Right? So we didn't think twice about it. And all of a sudden, it's 6-0. You're out on the other side going, oh, my God. and the Red Sox routed them. And that's why I think the first goal is so important tonight. If Edmonton gets on the board, it's like, all right, here we go. We're just keep on going. Right? Just keep on going. If you're Florida, you need that first goal because you're the one that needs to get out of the gate and set the tone for the game. The team that scores first sets the tone. You're the one playing in front. The other team now is being forced to play uphill. And as you know, Dick Girardi and I always say over and over and over again on the broadcast, play with the lead. I will also say that the series has been good in this regard. I know Edmonton is not going to register on the Nielsen ratings, but all these games have been on ABC, not on cable, but on ABC. Tonight, Texas A&M and Tennessee will play for the College World Series Championship tonight at ESPN. All right. But all these games have been on ABC. And remember what I said in the conference finals that I thought it was important for Edmonton to get there so America could see Connor McDavid on a night-in and night-out basis? And they've had that. And McDavid has been outstanding in this series. He wasn't their best player in Game 6, but he's been outstanding in the series. They've seen the moves, the spins, the shots, the angles, the fact he's a two-way player. I mean, they've seen one of the true stars of the game, game in and game out, and I think that's made a difference in advancing hockey. Doesn't mean hockey's going to, you know, vault past baseball, basketball, or anything like that. No, but it makes people who enjoy the sport, there are more casual fans enjoying it because of a guy like that.
It'll be the first game I watch, so.
Yeah. But watch this, watch 97 play. I mean, you know, and he's been in the league now. This is his ninth year in the league. I mean, this is not like some Johnny come lately. He's actually been in the league for 9 years. But he's a great player. America's had a chance to see a great player. The guy has been one of the top five players in the NHL the last few years. And we get to see him on a game-in and game-out basis, and he's brilliant. He's brilliant. So, yeah. Okay. And that helps the overall game. I'll talk a little bit more about that later because, I mean, every time you turn around, Caitlin Clark's name keeps being mentioned when it comes to the Olympics. She's not even going to be on the 3-on-3 team, even though Cameron Brink isn't going to play. But there's something I do want to talk about when it comes to her because this goes back to McDavid's point. But we'll do that in a little bit. This opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's routine or difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you this half hour, being brought to you by NIL Game Changers. One stop for name, image, and likeness, business, athletes, whomever it may be. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. Always great to be joined by Rich Scarsella. My friend, great to be with you.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Always glad to be with you.
Yeah. Summer good so far?
Yeah. I would say so far.
Right,
it's always short, but good. Yeah, really good.
You have to do, I don't think people realize how much writing you have to do in the off season, because you have a lot of publications that want to bring you in to write.
Yeah.
So what do you do where you're taking care of each one that has specific needs and not writing the same thing over and over again?
Well, it's interesting because let's start with Lindy's. I've been writing for Lindy's college football preview for, I don't know, at least 30 years, I think. It's somewhere around there. I can't remember the first year. But regardless, that's a specific thing. They're looking for something really specific in terms of a team preview. You know, they're looking for something very concise. You know, they're looking for the Big Ten edition, which I haven't seen yet. They want a player profile, which is like 400 words. So the one I wrote for this year's Big Ten edition is on Abdul Carter. Yeah. But it's a lot different. They want more nuts and bolts than, say, the Penn State Football Annual published by Barish, which I wrote 5 features this year for it. That's different. They're like, 2 of the stories were 1,000 words and 3 of them were 1,500 words. It's completely different.
Yeah. What did you learn about Carter in putting the feature together maybe you did not know before?
In a 450, I didn't really learn much more than most of us know. I mean, I did a story, a longer take out on him last year for the Football Annual, and the one thing that I learned last year in interviewing him is that he's an outstanding chess player. Yeah. And if you don't think so, ask him. he said there are very few people who can beat him. So that was interesting. But anyway, as the field, I mean, I just think it's clear as can be. It was clear as can be in the spring that this adjustment to defensive end is working. And I think we talked about it once since the end of spring practice. And now with the injury to Zariah Fisher, I think it makes even more sense. You know, it's almost like the timeliness of it actually turned out well. But I think Abdul Carter is going to have an outstanding year. I see that he's, one of the faces on the cover of Phil Steele's college football preview, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of big things are expected from him.
There was media opportunities with James Franklin, the coaches, and so forth, and you mm-hmm. were there for that. What were your quick takeaways? What did you learn out of that as something that's midway between spring and training camp?
Oh, boy, let's see. I think it became clear in the spring, but it sort of confirmed that the running backs are going to be used a lot on offense this year, in that as receivers, they could be on the field a lot together, meaning Nick Singleton and Ka'Tron Allen. I also learned that the Penn State coaches have a very high opinion on Quinton Martin, and I think you could see him being used again in the backfield and as a receiver. I mean, there's a bunch of things I'm trying to think of them, Steve. Then I went to Marcus Hagans, the wide receivers coach. Marcus is very confident that the wide receivers, despite Keandre Lambert-Smith transferring, that he thinks the wide receivers are going to have a good year. He made that very clear to several of us who were there at the time. Phil Troutwine is very confident about the offensive line and about, even though they lost three starters. And then I got to talk to Tom Allen for the first time, and I talked to him, I'd interviewed him when he was at Indiana, you know, in a group setting, but I was very impressed with him, and I was running out of time because we had a limited amount of time, and he talked about the linebackers, and he's very, very high on Kobe King, about Kobe King taking on a leadership role, and it was a productive, period. That was, like, I think it was 10 days ago. And, oh, the other one was James Franklin, not solicited by me or anybody else, speaking about one of my Penn State players from Berks County, Javen Williams, and had a lot of very complimentary things to say about him and about how Penn State needs to get him on the field, and not in a starting role necessarily, but he had a really good spring. So yeah, there was a lot there, Steve.
Yeah, no question. All right, moving forward, the settlement, and the judge still has to sign off on the settlement. But in the end, that settlement is going to mean some back money, some of which will come out of NCAA distributions from the basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And then there's the $22 million minimum each year moving forward that athletic departments have to come up with. We all know it's a new era of college sports. What kind of stress and strain does that put on any athletic department, in your opinion? Because in your 3 to 5 year budget projection a year ago, this wasn't there.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. And I think, you know, there's already been talk of the size of football rosters, that you could see a decrease. And when I say decrease, they're not going to drop 20 kids, but you could see, you know, that's a possibility. But I think the bigger issue and the unfortunate thing is, I think you'll see schools dropping sports. I'll give you a little example in a very small way here. Division III Albright here in Reading, they're having some financial difficulties, not related to, you know, revenue sharing and so on, but and they've dropped their swimming program, and it was a successful swimming program, and I think you're going to see that at the Division I level. I just don't see any way around it, unless you got some creative budget people. But I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Can a school like Penn State, for example, keep all its varsity sports? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I just know you hit it on the head when you're saying you've got to come up with at least $22 million. And you didn't have it in your budget projections. Well, something's got to give. That's going to be an issue. And I think, you know, you said, like a lot of us know, a lot of us in the media know it. I don't think the public has wrapped its collective head around this. I mean, I really don't. I tell people when I'm out in public, you know, this is coming, and it's here. and you better brace yourselves for it. And, you know, they're asking me, well, where's the NCAA? And where's, I said, and, you know, they want to play the blame game. And I'm like, it doesn't matter who you blame, but right now this is a problem across college sports and college athletics. And so, yeah, I think the main thing is you're going to – will roster sizes remain the same? Will the number of varsity sports remain the same? They're the two biggest questions.
Well, I mean, I've gone out speaking, and, of course, people have said, well, this is completely different. And they'll talk about the NCAA players. I said this is court mandated.
Yep.
So this is not Penn State mandated. This isn't NCAA mandated. This is a court settlement. In other words, they didn't settle. It was going to be triple the number. I said, and at that point, you've got athletic departments completely going out of business because they can't afford that.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing schools close. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that's the drastic, you know, the end of it. And I just think, like, I just don't think people are, the general public is aware of it. And even, you know, college football fans in general, college basketball fans and so on, I just don't think they're aware of what's going to happen or could happen.
Well, what could happen is that sports might not be dropped, but they may be redesignated as club sports, so they're no longer going to be varsity NCAA sports. I'm not saying that's happening here, but that is something I would look at. And if you start seeing that in athletic departments, that there's a transition of certain sports to the club level, that will tell you what's going on financially. That, to me, is a tip-off.
Yeah, and that, but you're actually dropping the sport. I mean, yeah, it's going to become club, but you're dropping it as a varsity sport. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be dramatic and it's going to be impactful. And I just don't think the general public is ready for this. Like, I don't think they're aware of this, what's going on.
Well, it's amazing how there's more talk about what happens away from a field than on a field. And something
is it the
that
NBA?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the WNBA, yeah, which is an interest. That's a story unto itself. But when you look at this football team, it seems to me like there's a business-like attitude about the team, and they're keeping themselves under the radar, and they want to do their talking when the games come up. I mean, that's the impression I'm getting from them.
Yeah, everything that I'm hearing, and again, we haven't really seen the players since the Blue-White game, but I'm hearing that they're laser-focused. What does that mean? Well, it means that they're committed to making a run here, and I don't think missing the playoffs is a question for them. I don't think that's even on their minds. They want not only make the playoffs, they want to make a run in the playoffs. And everything that I hear is just like, just completely laser focused on the task at hand, and that's this season. And you know, it's not a perfect team. It's not, you know, there are, it has flaws, but so do a lot of other teams. I do think that Penn State's going to have another good season. And is it going to be good enough for some people? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But I do think that there's no doubt about it that this team is, I mean, I don't want to say other teams weren't, but I think this team is really, really committed. And whether they're motivated by losing to Ohio State and Michigan, whether they didn't like the way the season ended in the Peach Bowl, I don't know. But whatever it is, they are focused entirely on this season.
All right, so now there's another element. You mentioned the playoff. You and I are both big NFL fans. As you know, Rich is a big Green Bay Packers fan, so he's all set for Brazil on a Friday night. But
I do get Peacock. I get one. I do have that streaming service.
Well done. You're in. But the NFL is still. There'll be one playoff game on a Friday night that's a standalone. The other three will be on Saturday, the 21st. Mm-hmm. The NFL, the four teams that are playing on Christmas Day will be playing on that Saturday in just in different combinations. Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Texans, right? The feeder system for the NFL is college football. Caleb Williams walks into the league. Marvin Harrison walks into the league, already established names to Americans across the board.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the NFL's decision to play games opposite the college football playoff and not give it room to breathe?
I think it is a... this is not exactly earth-shattering. It is a massive business, and they could not care less about doing that. They don't. All they care about is maximizing their revenue. Period. Doesn't matter who they affect or who they don't affect. I don't want to get too deep into the NFL woods, but yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, college football is the feeder system for the NFL, and you're right. A lot of these guys have established themselves in college football, unlike in basketball, where very, very few, I think, guys have established themselves as stars in college basketball before going into the NBA. And does the NFL benefit from that? 100%, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think they care. I don't think the people that run the league, starting from the top down, I don't think they care about college. Like, I really don't. They could pay it lip service, but I don't think they care about college football. First and foremost is maximizing revenue.
I think it's bizarre. I find it bizarre. I mean, you are handed marketing on a silver platter. That's what college football does. They hand the NFL marketing on a silver platter. And they just like go, yeah, we'll do whatever we want. It's one thing for them to take Christmas Day away from the NBA. That's professional leagues competing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't backhand the hand to feed you, do you?
Well, you would think not, but guess what? They don't care. That's what I'm saying. I'm with you, Steve. It's like, when you think about it in those terms, sure. I mean, you'd think they would be like, okay, maybe they would rather see a four-team playoff so that they wouldn't have to have four first-round games and four quarterfinals, to go against. I don't know, but I do know this: that NFL is only focused on one thing, and that's making money. Period.
Exactly, and you have Peacock. All right, so
I do because we Comcast is our cable provider, so it comes with it.
Right. How many times have you been asked by fans in recent weeks about which game is the whiteout game?
A lot. I can't tell you how much. Boy, I hate to sound like one of those fuddy-duddies. Honestly, whenever the whiteout is, it's the whiteout is for me. Okay,
right.
It's like it. Honestly, it doesn't matter that much to me personally. All right. Having said that, it is. It's a massive event. It's a TV show. But you also have to remember, not you, the public, Penn State fans, that Fox, CBS, and NBC, Fox on top, they're paying a lot of money for rights fees. And if it's Fox's turn to do the Ohio State game and they think they're going to get great ratings at 12 o'clock, what are you going to say? They're paying a lot of money to the Big Ten to do their games. I understand the fans' disappointment. I do. I get it. I know Penn State is trying its hardest to come up with a solution. I just think at the end, if Fox has the leverage on this, if it's their turn, they're going to pick Ohio State, Penn State, as their big noon kickoff. But is it right? I don't know if it's right or wrong, but they're paying a lot of money to have that choice.
Well, let's break this down quickly by ratings. Sure. And this is something a lot of fans don't realize.
Yeah.
The top 15 most viewed games last season in college football, 7 of the 15 were at noon.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't argue.
I mean, that's what you got. I mean, 7 of the top 15 games were at noon. All right.
Yeah, so you can understand Fox, why Fox wants to have the Penn State-Ohio State game on at noon. I get it. I understand that. How many times have you been asked about the whiteout?
Oh, every time I turn around, I'd be like, and I just say, look, I don't know. I said, I usually find out about 10 minutes before you do, so I'm not sure. Rich, always a pleasure. I don't care, off-season, in-season. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime, Steve. Always a pleasure for me as well. Thanks.
The great Rich Scarcella. All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, business, athletes. They handle it all at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, so this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. All right. So, ESPN did a piece. Yeah, it was interesting, matter of fact. Of 100 NFL franchises. Brian Barnwell did it. Is it Brian Barnwell? Yeah, Bill Barnwell. My apologies. Bill Barnwell did it. You know, because England has like 92 soccer teams. And so he put them all over the place. Bismarck, North Dakota, things like that. State College didn't make the cut. I was surprised. Odessa, Texas gets it. Really? Reno, Albuquerque, Tucson. He didn't put one in State College. He only has two teams in Pennsylvania, Steelers and the Eagles. Wow. Bizarre. Very bizarre.
I was going to say, I think he based it off an old Bill James article in his baseball abstract.
He's got Laramie, Wyoming. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Fargo. Like, really? Really?